The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
It's Wish Week on News Talk. Make a wish, grant life-changing wishes for children with critical medical conditions. In 229 wishes were granted last year, and there have been over 3,600 since it all started at Make-A-Wish almost 35 years ago. And a wish can be a turning point in a childhood illness, bringing hope and magic and strength and happiness for an entire family. So our ambition is to make 2026 the biggest wish week yet. Every cent matters, so please give what you can. Donate online at makeawish.ie/donate. That's makeawish.ie/donate. And you can also check out our video of Erin's story over on News Talk's Instagram page. That website again for your donations, makeawish.ie/donate. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Lynn O'Donnell to talk about her own experience with Make-A-Wish. Lynn, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us. We've met before.
We have.
We did lovely photographs, myself and yourself and your son, Connor.
Yes.
Tell us about Connor.
So Connor is one of five kids in the family. He's got three brothers. Shane's 12, Rory's 10, Connor's 7, and Patrick is nearly 6. And they had a little sister who would have been 9, but she sadly passed away just shortly after her birth in 2017. So Connor is the third boy in the family, the life and soul of it. And he started school in 2022. And again, he started school very young. He was only 4 in the May, but he was well able, having the older brothers in the house. And
Well, he's as bright. I mean, I was so impressed by him.
He's very articulate.
Very smart chap.
Yeah. So they do the school eye screening in junior infants. And that's, I suppose, where our journey started with Connor, because he actually picked up that he was blind in his left eye. And
completely,
he couldn't see anything. So I remember the day to a T, it was the 19th of December, 2022. And the school nurse rang and she said to follow up on this straight away. And I'm a nurse myself, so I wouldn't let anything like that go by. So I straight away made an appointment at Specsavers that day, and I collected him and I took him to Specsavers, and they did all their usual stuff with him, and they prescribed glasses, and they could see that he couldn't see out of the left eye. And he wore glasses for about 8 weeks, and then we were linked in with the primary care team as well. And when we went back to them, they just noticed the glasses, there was no improvement with the glasses, and that's probably what they wanted to see. So they thought maybe it was a lazy eye, so they patched him. There was no other signs that this was anything more than that he couldn't see, that it was a lazy eye or something. There was like, he was just jumping around as normal, very typical 4-year-old. So after wearing the patch, which he detested, might I add, I was the worst mammy ever for making him wear this patch.
I had to do that when I was done, and we all hated it.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know how he managed, because he couldn't see with the left eye and we were covering the right eye for like 6 hours a day. But anyway, he managed some way, and we went back then, and again, there was no improvement. So I suppose this is where the professionals then were starting to say, why is there no improvement? So we got referred to Crumlin immediately, and I knew when they rang me. I went to primary care on the Wednesday, and they rang me on the Thursday that I had to go to Crumlin the next day. I just knew that this was more than a lazy eye. I don't know, as it being a nurse, my gut instinct, whatever. I remember I said to my friend in work, who's really good, and she was trying to calm me down, but I had already gone down the rabbit hole that this was something more.
So you do tend to know, don't you?
Yeah, I had a feeling that something wasn't right. But he still wasn't, like, he was still bouncing with one eye covered. So, you know, to look at him, there was nothing, but I just knew there had to be something more. So that's kind of where the journey began then. This was the June of 2023 then. It was his last few days in school, I remember. I had to ring his teacher and say that I'd be taking him out, that he was going into Temple Street actually for a brain scan. And again, because we have the other kids in the house and they're young, I did a lot of the stuff on my own. So I suppose the first results, being told that the scan showed that he had a brain tumour at the back of his brain. I had to get
that
information.
You were there on your own, were you?
Yeah, and I knew again because when I went into the room, there was two doctors, and like I work in healthcare, so I seen two doctors, and then a lovely person took Connor out of the room to play. So they're
you
all,
knew.
Yeah, they're the things. So she didn't. I just had to hear what it was, and again, what are we going to do about this? That was kind of my next thing. Like,
and what did they? What were they able to tell you that day about?
So
the
on
tumor?
That scan, that was just an initial scan. He obviously had to have an MRI scan, and in order to, that was a CT scan, which showed that there was a tumor there. But they needed more information regarding, I suppose, type and to, I suppose, aid their treatment and what the plan was going to be. So they did give me three options that day, just kind of what it could be, but they needed more information. So we went in on the Tuesday then to Temple Street, and because it was an MRI scan, he had to be put to sleep to have the scan done because he has to lie flat, obviously, for an hour and a half. So the results from that then come back that they wanted to biopsy it to see what it was, and then again to give them the right direction of what treatment plan for Connor would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember just went home after the first scan, and I had to tell Tim, obviously, the devastating news that Connor had this brain tumour. And that's the hardest bit, is waiting, not knowing, and doing what I tell all my patients not to do, Google. And thinking it could be all these things. And in hindsight, I should have just not read all the information and just waited on what it actually was. So
he went through an awful lot very quickly then.
This
after
all
the
happened.
First appointment.
Yeah, yeah, this all. So he had within 10 days, he had had a CT scan, an MRI scan and a biopsy.
That's a lot.
And there was, yeah, he was in theatre. He was put to sleep. I remember that was hard too, putting him to sleep twice in the 1 week. And then he went to sleep again to get his little Hickman line put in whenever we heard that it was going to be chemotherapy. It was going to be the treatment choice. So
because they couldn't remove it, could they?
They couldn't remove it because of where it was at in the brain. And again, as a parent, I suppose I just wanted it out. Initially, hindsight now, yes, chemotherapy was probably the best option for him. But at that time, I just wanted the tumour removed.
Take it out.
I wanted it surgically removed. Yeah. But no, it's too, the position that the tumour's in, it's too high risk to remove it. So the next option then was chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. And were you telling Connor what was going on?
I suppose Connor was just turned 5. His birthday was in May. So I told him bits and pieces, but I couldn't say the word tumour. I found it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, all my career, I've talked about tumours. I'm a nurse. So, but then when it came to telling your 5-year-old or his brothers, I called it a lump for a long time. And then I decided when he was going back to school and stuff, and other parents knew that maybe other people would call it a tumour. And then he'd be afraid if he heard this word tumour. So I decided to call it a tumour and from, you know, and just tell them what it was and what it meant. But I kind of never really, they didn't bother too much with the...
So was he able to go back to school then? This was September 2023. Was he...
So he started chemo in July 2023 and, he missed... And I'm delighted with this because I just feel it shows the support of the school in something like this. He missed like 8 days in 2 years of chemotherapy. And
it's
for
incredible.
Us to do that, that was the support of his school because we live close to the school and he would have had his chemo on the Thursday. I would have put him into school in the morning. I would have picked him up. We had a routine going. And then the next day he would have been in maybe a little bit later after I was able to get all his anti-sickness into him. He'd go down to school. Most times he stayed. The odd time they might ring and say that he wanted to come home. He would come home maybe for an hour and then he'd say, I want to go back down. So it was so good with the school that I was able to just pop in and out. You know, we were just really familiar
Isn't
with him.
He's a great little boy though.
Yeah.
He's
and he was
a
amazing.
Really resilient child.
Like, he was so resilient and, you know, like when I heard 84 months of chemotherapy, it knocked me. Like, I was like, how are we going to? And chemotherapy as well, you just think of all the negative when you hear chemotherapy.
Yeah.
But Connor's chemo journey was so positive. You know, he few side effects, but the positives of it outweighed the side effects of it all. You know, mm-hmm. He tolerated it really, really well.
And how is he now?
He's in great form. Yeah, he's in really good form. So he finished his chemo March last year, 2025. And he's kind of, he never really wasn't his own self, if that makes sense. Like, you know, he would have been a little bit tired or maybe, but he actually, you know, he dread it going in some weeks for the treatment, but then other weeks he actually enjoyed going in because there was a bit of fun in there. Like John's Ward and Crumlin, they're just an amazing place, you know, and Connor learned lots of negotiating skills that he still has. So the vending machine was a big place that we went to. I could have shares in that vending machine in Crumlin Hospital. And it just, even now, like I was saying, he has a scan coming up now in May. And thankfully, he's now learned to do his MRI scans awake, which is amazing from a parent's perspective, because I really hate it, the putting him to sleep.
Of course.
It's just like another added thing for me to have to worry about. So he does. He actually has tolerated the last few scans awake, but he knows his scan's coming up and he's already saying, what's in it for me?
It's a long road though, wasn't it?
Yeah, very long road.
July 2023.
Yeah.
To, when did you say the chemo finished?
He finished March 2025.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot on a little fella.
Yeah.
But the good news is that he's doing really well.
So he is.
So Make a Wish then. When does Make a Wish come into this story?
Make a Wish come in. So early on in the chemo journey, the staff mentioned about Make a Wish. I suppose it took me a while to kind of address it as such, because when you're just at the beginning of it all, it's still very new. And the last thing I thought about was going somewhere to have fun, I'll be honest with you. But then you get into the new normal. So about a year into it, going for chemo in Crumlin was a normal part of our routine. You know, on a Thursday, we knew what we had to do. So it became normal life. And I remember I said to Tim, you know, I might look at the Make-A-Wish and see if we could maybe try and plan something for when Connor would potentially finish his treatment. And that's what we done then. I filled in the form. And very quickly, the Make-A-Wish called us, and lovely, you know, just a normal chat like this, you know, just chatting about Connor, chatting about our family and kind of what Connor's wish would be. And then they sent out a lovely booklet that was fun for us to fill in. And I suppose, again, I chatted to Tim and the Make-A-Wish people to see, could it be something that we could do as a family? Because I just felt, the boys were young at the time as well, and you think because you're going through this every week that it doesn't really take their toll on them. And I am proud to say that we tried to make life as normal as possible for us. Like everybody continued at their activities and school and everything.
Well, you were lucky with the geography for you.
Yes.
You know, in that you were close enough to the hospital that you weren't travelling and staying overnight.
Exactly.
Which so many people
do. Yeah. You know.
So what did Connor wish for?
So Connor wished for a family trip to Centre Parks.
Lovely.
That was our wish. Yep. And it was so important because of the swimming, because he couldn't swim for the couple of years whenever he was on chemo because he had the little Hickman line in.
Oh, because of danger of infection.
Infection and stuff. Yeah. And a thing that we did together as a family was the family swim. And we weren't able to do that, obviously, then because Connor had the Hickman line in. So the boys kind of missed out on that aspect of life for the 2 years. So Centre Parks seemed like the best place to go, and it meant everybody could go and everybody would enjoy it. And it was like a treat for everybody in the family for kind of having gone through Connor's treatment, if that makes sense.
And did it feel like that when you
were
there?
It was absolutely amazing. We loved it. Make-A-Wish just pulled out all the stops for us. I had nothing to do, only pack the bags. I said, if they could just come and pack the bags for me, it'd be great. Because they had an itinerary set up. We told them what activities the boys would be interested in, roughly what time we wanted to have dinner. This was just sent to me as an email, and I said, this is great. I just have to arrive.
That's what you want, isn't
it? It was brilliant. Yeah, really, really enjoyed
it. I think there isn't a person listening to this who would say that you didn't deserve it. You know, after the whole... Yeah, even the... I know you say the boys didn't miss their activities, but it is really tough on a family going through
100%.
You mightn't even realise it when you're going through it.
I think that's it. On reflection now, I don't know how we managed it. I often say, how did we go into chemo? And then unpredictable overnight stays in the hospital. If Connor fell or he got a temperature, he had to go in and you'd have to maybe stay for 2 nights then, because of it was all just in case there was anything more than just a viral thing going on. Mm-hmm. So there was lots of unpredictability throughout it. But Centre Parks was like it was just like a celebration in our family, a celebration that Connor had gone through all his treatment, he had his line removed, and that the boys had kind of got a bit of the treatment as well for being supportive of him during it.
Well, listen, he's such a lovely boy.
Oh,
I enjoyed chatting to him so much when I met him, and he's as smart as a whip.
Oh, he is. No, he's really good. And even the boys now, what's nice, I think, is that they talk about Centre Parks, but they also talk about it with Make-A-Wish, in that they say, oh, Make-A-Wish sent us there for Connor doing his treatment. That's how they tell their friends. So it's kind of normal to them to be talking about Make-A-Wish at this young age.
Yeah.
You know, which is really good.
That's what it is. And that's what we're doing all week. And that's what we're asking people to help with, so that children like Connor and families like yours can have that moment of light in a really tough time.
Yeah.
So to remind people again, it's makeawish.ie/donate. Whatever you can give will be welcome. It'll make a huge difference. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
today.
Very much, Claire,
and
for
all the
me.
Very best to you and to Connor and to the family.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a break back after this.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.